Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
This week, and every week, we'll start the show with a tip of the week. And then we'll move into a low-tech item, which this week will be about accessible games and toys. We'll focus on the new NLS digital audiobook player, and then talk a little bit about using thumb drives and SD cards as a mechanism for transferring information. So moving right into the tip of the week, this week's tip is that you should look at people's voices when you're in a conversation with them. And this is something that Pete's mom did a great, great job of training him into as a kid, because of course, as a kid, he couldn't see well enough to know which way to look either. But this has been really terrific.
Yeah, she always made me insisted that I look at people when I talk to them. And that's really important to catch people's attention and also to make them believe that you're actually talking to them and interested in what they're saying.
Right. People find it a little bit distracting or disturbing or maybe even distressing if the person that they're chatting with is looking somewhere else. It just kind of looks like you're not really paying attention.
Right. Even I find it distracting when people aren't looking at me when they talk. I mean, even though I can't see them, you can certainly hear where their voice is directed. And it's sometimes very frustrating. Like, I'll know that someone's reading a magazine while they're talking to me, which I used to get on the kids' cases and even sometimes Nancy's case once in a while.
Yeah, but it only took about 5 or 10 years for you to train me out of that.
That's true. Or if people are, looking at a TV while they're talking to you, I always felt, kind of left aside. And that would kind of frustrate me a little bit. So even for people who can't see, I think it's kind of important to look in their direction, try to look them in the eye.
We have run into some funny situations. For example, there was one time we went to a restaurant with a bunch of friends, and the waiter walked over to the table and asked Pete what he would like. And so Pete looked right back up at where the question came from, which was where the waiter had been standing until he moved, and asked for a cup of coffee. And there's this big pause, like, we're all thinking, what could be so complicated about a cup of coffee? And finally, the waiter looks at Pete. We're like, what's the problem? The waiter looks at Pete and says, I was wondering what you were looking at. And not skipping a beat, Pete said.
I said, well, I was wondering what I was looking at also. And was a little surprised that when his voice came from a different direction than where I expected it to come from.
All our friends, of course, laughed. But they understand that Pete takes his blindness with a certain degree of humor. But the poor waiter was aghast because, he'd been socialized. You're not supposed to laugh about things like that. But we thought it was funny.
But it is important to catch people's attention when you look at them. Even one of the people I roomed with in graduate school, he used to ride a motorcycle, and he'd come to a corner and he'd try to look other drivers right in the eye, because sometimes people aren't looking for motorcycles, and he tried to catch people's attention that way. So.
And as a pedestrian, I do the same thing crossing the street. I don't trust anybody to stay stopped. So this is our tip of the week section, and we'd like to do a little follow-up to a tip of the week from show 1103 that aired in mid-January, when we talked about agencies and companies that are available to print small amounts of Braille material upon request. So a couple days ago, we went to a restaurant called Cheeburger in the old Ferry Building in Charlotte. And the waitress actually, on her own, without us even asking, handed us a copy of the menu that was in Braille and large print. Pete, of course, nearly starved because the menu was pretty long.
Well, I'm not the quickest Braille reader in the world, since I don't use it all the time.
But we were just so excited that not only they had a Braille and large print menu, but they offered it to us, that we told them we'd mention them on Viewpoints, and that perhaps they'll get an influx of visually impaired customers after everybody hears this show. But, even when you walk into a restaurant, if they don't offer you a large print or Braille menu, it's fine to ask if they have one. It's always nice to take care of yourself rather than having to rely on somebody else. And if you can just get hold of their Braille or large print menu, whichever one you need, That's great.
In this case, the waitress actually offered it. I mean, often they don't even think to offer it, or sometimes people don't notice that I'm blind because I'll just walk in kind of seamlessly with Nancy, just, you know, lightly touching her and get in my seat. So it is good to ask. They won't always offer.
So turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about accessible games and toys.
Ooh, the fun part.
The fun part.
Okay.
Everybody likes to have fun, and so do we.
That's
but
right.
We just sometimes needed to obtain some modified games and toys in order to do it, or to modify things by ourselves. So whenever we played catch with the kids, our son loves playing football, and so Daddy was the quarterback, and Brian was the wide receiver or whatever he felt like playing that day.
Oh, and we'd work out these intricate patterns where he would go running down the field, and I'd tell him, okay, you just count and go 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll throw on 5. And on 3, you cut this way. And on 4, you cut that way. And we'd work out these intricate pass receiver arrangements and stuff.
Or sometimes he would just yell, Dad, Dad, Dad. And then he'd have his friends over, and we'd get all his friends yelling, Dad, Dad, Dad. And the neighbors thought we had an awful lot of kids.
Of course, we'd do this walking around the neighborhood through the streets, taking our evening walk with the kids.
But sometimes, you know, for some ball games, we didn't have to resort to the do-it-yourself. We could actually buy a ball with a beeper and a buzzer on the basketball hoop. The neighbors loved that one. You know, we'd be out playing ball, and the whole neighborhood would be hearing, eh.
They thought someone's car was being stolen.
Right. For more calm games, we've got tactile tic-tac-toe. So there's pegs, and some of them are circles, and some of them are X's, and they go into holes, and you don't even have to keep drawing the board over and over. That's an added benefit.
And they make similar games with chess. So the chess board I have has pieces with pegs at the bottom, and they slide into each hole, and the white squares may be higher than the black squares, so you can feel which square is which, and then to feel which color piece it is, maybe the white squares had a little extra peg on top or something.
And then we've got brailled Scrabble, brailled Monopoly, brailled cards, brailled, you name it. You know, you can buy it if there's a particular board game, they probably exist, especially card games. And then there's some games that are intrinsically audio games. So we just bought Bop It for a nephew who's kind of ADD and a little annoying to begin with, and his parents are going to kill us, but this was a great toy for Pete because he could compete on an even playing field with the kids.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of these games. Also some tactile games. So there's lots of different puzzles that come with pieces and shapes you can put together, or some of these puzzles where things link together in different ways. They make tactile versions of Rubik's Cubes and things like that. We also found when we were investigating things for the show, some audio games that you can get software on the net. I don't know if you want to give the web address for some of those things.
Sure. It's audiogames.net. So all one word, audio, AUDIOGAMES.net. And they've got, of course, on their site links to lots and lots of games that you can download if you want to play computer games with audio input and output.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
So this week's focus topic is the NLS Digital Audio Player from the Library of Congress, National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. In our first program, which was Viewpoints number 1101 that aired the first week of January, the focus item was on accessing the NLS as a source of audio reading material and how you could download stuff from them. But in today's program, this is actually different. We'll be talking about their relatively new digital audio player and how to use it to listen to their audio books. And we brought one into the studio with us so that we could show you how to work it. So I guess the first thing is, how would you sign up?
How would you sign up? Well, actually, we gave some information on that a while ago, and you can go to the National Library Service website where there's a form that you can fill out, and these are administered through local regional libraries, and they'll put you in touch with your state local library that's in your area. And then they will actually send you all the material you'll need. They'll send you lots of catalogs on what books are available. They will send you also the players that you need to play these special media files, and this is sort of on an infinite loan, so you can treat it sort of like your own machine, but it's really theirs. And all this is sent free matter of the for the blind. So you can order books from them. They'll send you books on little digital cartridges, and again, you can mail them back and forth for nothing. Or if you're interested in doing this, you can sign up for a website from the National Library Service where you can download these books immediately. So if you see a book that you want, you don't have to wait for it to come in the mail. And then you can transfer those books to the new digital audio players that they lend to their patrons.
So we brought in the new digital audio player. It's about the same size as a It's a little smaller than a hardcover book, but it's a little bigger than a paperback. So it's, you know, you're not going to fit it in your pocket unless you have really big pockets. But it's not too big, and it's pretty light. It's got a built-in speaker, but in order to get decent sound quality, we plugged into the headphone jack. So if you'd rather listen to it with headphones, it's got a headphone jack as well.
But this is a really slick design. They really took a lot of care in developing the human factors for this device. So it's easy to use. The buttons are all well arranged, very easy to figure out what they are.
And there aren't even very many of them. There's a power button, which is red. And they're all color-coded, and they're all different shapes. There's the play or stop button is green. Volume up and down are bright yellow, and the rest are all white. There's a speed button up and down. If you want to hear something very slowly, you're having trouble catching the detail, or you want to speed it up because you're getting impatient. And then independently, you can adjust the tone, because if you just speed it up, it'll start talking like Mickey Mouse. But you can adjust the tone so that it's faster but lower. And then there's fast forward and rewind, and a sleep button, just in case, you know, you remember from the old cassette tapes, you'd be listening and then you'd doze off, but the book would keep reading and you wind up at the end of the tape, but it was only the tape that was at the end of the tape, not you. So you can put it in a sleeper mode so it'll only play for 10 or 20 minutes, whatever.
So the other nice thing they did, if you do read Braille, they put little Braille letters next to most of these buttons. So there's an S right next to the up and down speed controls. There is a V right next to the up and down volume controls, an S near the stop control, and things like that, R and reverse.
Actually, there's a P next to the play slash stop control.
Pause, yes.
And there's a different P that next to the power button. So you do have to kind of learn what's what.
Now, one neat thing about this, you know, a lot of people don't like new gadgets and it's hard for them to learn to use new gadgets, but they made this extremely simple. If you don't have the book plugged in and you hit any of the buttons, it will give you the help for that button and a little thing. So I'll hit the, the reverse button over here.
Rewind. Press this rewind button once to move backward 5 seconds in the book. Press and hold this rewind button to move back further in the book. The longer you hold the button down, the more quickly you will move backward. The player will tell you how far the reading position has moved. If you hold down the rewind button for 10 seconds, you will back up 15 minutes in the book. If you hold down the rewind button longer than 10 seconds, the reading position will continue moving, progressively faster, back to the previous chapter, where it will then move from chapter to chapter. You will hear a beep at the start of each chapter. If you hold down the rewind button long enough, you will reach the beginning of the book. When you release the rewind button after moving to a different chapter, the player will announce the name of that chapter and play from its beginning. If the player was stopped prior to pressing the rewind button, you will need to press the play button to hear the book. It is not necessary to rewind the book before returning it to the library.
I hope you were taking notes. There's going to be a short quiz on all of these functions.
That was rather an extensive message. But it turns out for any of these messages, if you just hit the power button, it will stop the messages and interrupt it. So why don't you try the other kind of neat feature, I think, is the sleep feature here. Because a lot of people, if they're listening to a book like my mom complained about, she would just sit there and you're not used to doing that. You're not very active and you can just fall asleep. So see what the sleep button does.
The sleep button actually is really cute. It's shaped like a moon.
Sleep. Pressing the sleep button once will play 15 minutes of the book and then stop the machine. Pressing the sleep button twice will play the book for 30 minutes, 3 times for 45 minutes, and 4 times for 60 minutes before stopping playback.
So let's put a book into this thing.
Right. So the help message, just to be clear, the help messages occur when a book is not put in the device. If a book is put in the device, then these keys will actually perform their function. But you just described the cartridge a little bit. This is a kind of a neat design on the cartridge, too.
Well, the first thing I thought was really neat, if you're used to listening to their tape books and you know what these plastic mailing packages look like and feel like, they made it so that the transition from tapes to these digital audiobooks is going to be as easy as possible. So the mailer for one of these digital books is exactly the same on the outside as a one or two cassette mailer used to be, except it's blue. So here, you'll hear me opening the tabs. That should sound familiar. And then you open it up, but on the inside, they've got separate dividers. And so when you go to put the book back in, there's really only one way to get it in. When you go to take it out, it's the size of one tape cassette, but there's a big hole at one end where you can stick your finger into it, you pick it up, and it's like almost impossible to get this thing in the wrong orientation to stick into the player.
You don't have to be very dexterous.
Right. The player has a great big hole, and it's got like contoured edges going in, so if you start putting it in a little bit cockeyed, it'll make itself go in straight.
Right.
And it's really easy to do. So we're going to just stuff in a book. This is, well, it'll tell you, An Irish Country Village by Patrick Taylor. And of course, the narrator has a little bit of an Irish accent.
An Irish Country Village.
Current position.
One. This bodes some strange eruption to our state.
Time remaining, 14 hours, 6 minutes.
Many veins in the whites of O'Reilly's brown eyes, the big man's craggy face with
so
its cauliflower ears,
speed?
And listing to port nose broke into
maybe
a grin.
Maybe you needed that slow to understand
when
this
I was
guy
in
with
the
his
Navy,
accent. But
it's what we used to call
here it is a little faster.
Speed up.
It was quite the ta-ta-ta-ra yesterday. Barry laughed and wondered how many pints of Guinness his mentor had sunk the previous night. Ordinarily, drink would have as much effect on O'Reilly as a teaspoon of water on a forest fire. Barry still wasn't sure.
And you can hear how the pitch went up when the speed went up, but I'm going to adjust the pitch back down, so although it's fast, it'll be a kind of a pitch that you're more used to.
Or if the man's magnanimous offer, made in the middle of what had seemed to be...
Tone. Minimum.
Hooli, to end all hoolies, had been the Guinness talking, or whether O'Reilly was serious. When he'd first woken, he thought he might have dreamed the whole thing, but now he clearly remembered that he'd vowed, before laying his head on the pillow, to muster the courage this morning to ask O'Reilly if he had meant it.
Okay. And okay. if you want to fast forward, if you're not happy with that point in the book, you can fast forward.
Forward. 5 seconds.
I hit the forward button once.
Forward. 5 seconds.
If I hold it down, let's see what it does.
Forward. 20 seconds. Forward. 1 minute.
I'm continuing to hold it.
Forward. 5 minutes.
So as I keep holding it, it goes further and further ahead by larger increments. So that's basically the functions of the thing. I think the other thing that's interesting about the cartridge, I don't know if we talked about, was the return mailer that they have on the front side there. There's a little card inside the case that holds the memory cartridge with the book on it that comes with your address, and when you want to send it back, you just pull it out, flip it around, put it in the mailbox, and bingo, you're done. And you can send it back to the Library of Congress. And normally they will let you have like 3 or 4 or 5 books at a time because they realize there's stuff in the mail that has to get back and forth, and also some of the books you may not like. Once you get into the service and you do want to download the books, for a minimal charge, you can buy a blank cartridge to put in there and then download the books onto your computer. And there's a USB port on the side of the machine near the headphone jack. And then you can copy the books directly from your computer onto the blank cartridge that you have if you want to get your books immediately.
And another nice thing, it's got a power cord. There's a nice big hole in the back of the machine where you can fold up the power cord, stuff it in, and you know, have it nice and neat for transportation, but we were looking around for an available outlet here in the studio to plug it in. And we're like, well, let's see, you know, what the battery life is like on this thing. And we turned it on. It said 20 hours remaining on the battery. Now, that's long enough to listen to for right. the day. And, you know, if you just want to plug it in at night and then you can listen all day, unless you're pulling an all-nighter, you should have plenty of battery power for the rest of the day.
Yeah, so it's very well designed. And again, this is free from the Library of Congress if you sign up, and then you can start getting their books. They'll also send you magazines this way, and there's lots of reading material available. They have a very extensive collection of current bestsellers, novels, humorous stuff, all kinds of information.
And if you're eligible for Reach Out Radio or your other local radio reading service, you're eligible for the NLS book service as well. So now for this week's high-tech item. Using a thumb drive or an SD card is a good way to transfer information. Whether it's files for this show or slides for a presentation or whatever else you can think of, there are often occasions when we want to transfer information from one computer to another or, you know, as Pete was saying, onto the book player. And you can do that via email, you can do it via remote storage on the web, but you know, sometimes it's just more convenient to have a little object you can stick in your pocket and carry it with you from wherever it was to wherever you want it to be, and it's so convenient to use.
Well, in fact, in the old days when I was working and computers had just come out, I used to, instead of taking a briefcase home, because you know, the paper wasn't going to do me much good, I used to put all my important information or things I wanted to work on at home on a little 3.5-inch floppy disk.
And that made my job more difficult because, as you can imagine, I buy his shirts because we like him to look good. And heaven help me, he's skinny, in case that hasn't come across yet.
Not on radio.
He's skinny on radio anyway, and I don't know if they scale the pockets to the skinny shirts, but some of the shirt pockets didn't quite fit the 3.5-inch floppy, and then I'd have to bring the shirt back and get one with a bigger pocket.
But this is what used to be called the sneaker net, back when people had to transfer information back and forth to one another's computer by putting information on a disk and then working it back and forth. But these days, it's a little bit more sophisticated. You can carry around gobs of information on these little thumb drives or SD cards and things like that. We find them very useful.
Right. They come in all different capacities. I mean, they used to come, you know, a couple of K, and then it was 128K. Well, you can't find those anymore because they don't sell anything that small. The smallest I was able to find held 2 gigabytes, which is 2,000 megabytes or 2 million kilobytes. So that's a lot of information. They come in, they're easy to find in 2, 4, 8, or 16 gigabyte sizes, but I actually found one for 32 gigabytes. That one was kind of more expensive, but every year the sizes, what they do is they up the storage capacity and leave the price the same.
You know, when you think about what I used to carry on my little floppy disks, even the smallest thumb drive holds about 1,000 or 2,000 times more information these days.
Right. And it fits in any pocket you can find. It's great.
Well, in fact, I attach mine to my keychain and just have it dangling there. So whenever I need to either copy a file that I want to take with me or if I want to, you know, haul some stuff around, bring it to someone else, it's there with me all the time.
And this is, if this isn't ever sweet, I carry one on my keychain as
well.
His and hers thumb drives.
It doesn't get any better, huh?
That's right. Don't borrow mine because you've got your own, bud. So where would you get one if you want one? You can get them online, obviously. You know, we love shopping online, as does everybody else, apparently, much to the chagrin of the physical stores.
That's my easy way of shopping.
That works great.
Right.
But you can go to any store that sells electronics, and it doesn't need to be a specialty store like Best Buy or Radio Shack, although obviously they carry these, but you can go to Walmart or Target or, you know, they've got a little electronics section in the back, and you can buy a thumb drive or an SD card. And the small ones will cost you $5 or $10 for 2 to 4 gigabytes. The bigger ones for 16 gigabytes, it'll cost $25 or $30. The one I found at 32 gigabytes was $50. That's getting a little pricey. but, you know, you can get them anywhere.
So, the other thing it's good for is hauling around lots of music, and then you can plug that sometimes into your MP3 players and play the music off there. So, you know, lots of things you can do with them. Sometimes you can get them even free as promotionals. We got our first one free that way for looking at that car demonstration in Arizona.
That's right. We were just reminded by our sound engineer slash mentor that you can store photographs on them if you want to bring around your photographs to show other people, you know.
Or you can store the podcast of Viewpoints on there.
Oh, that's true. We bring lots of Viewpoints files back and forth on our thumb drives. It's just a little easier sometimes than emailing them. So that's about it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about identifying money, whether it's paper or coins, talking about different kinds of earphones. And we talked this week about there's a headphone jack in the book player from the NLS. Well, there's headphone jacks on lots of things, and there's all different kinds of earphones. So we'll be talking about those. Some of them have built-in radios and other features. Focus item is going to be on a screen reader. This is a project, or a product rather, that enables a visually impaired person to do anything they want on a computer. The one we'll be talking about is JAWS. And then we'll also be talking about refreshable Braille displays. So if your preferred medium is Braille rather than speech, you can get that kind of output from your computer. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.